Good morning.
Good morning.
I welcome you on Christ the King. Christ is our King. He reigns eternally. And the reason why Paul said, I chose to know nothing except Christ, and of all the wonderful works of Christ, he said, in Christ and Him crucified. Because what we confess, and it's such a joy for those who, all of us, go through difficult times. We know that Christ not only reigns when all is going well, but our Savior reigned on a tree. And even in the midst of all the agony and pain, He is the King. And He rose triumphantly, and because He did, as first fruits of all of us, we will as well. So we gather in joy. It's also the last Sunday of the year, the liturgical year. Next Sunday we'll begin the first Sunday of Advent. So to help you keep a good Advent, we have a couple things in the back. As always, we join with the Society of St. Andrew during Advent and Lent for special devotions and a collection that we'll make. So there are devotionals from the Society of St. Andrew for Advent. I'd encourage each one to get that. And then also, some of you still have the round ones, but we have Advent calendars. We have enough, one per family, so go ahead and take an Advent calendar. And you've probably seen some that have chocolate when you open the door. I want you to know there's something even more precious than chocolate when you open this. You'll see a scripture for each day, so make sure you get that. A couple other announcements. Next week we'll have our congregational meeting. That's a brief meeting generally, and I encourage each of you to stay afterwards for that. There will be, if you would like to look at the budget in advance, we will have copies sometime before the end of the service here. So when you leave, make sure you pick up a budget. Also, and we were having our Christmas potluck immediately after the service on December the 17th. So please plan to be there. Any other announcements? Let's move to praise and prayer requests. I'd like to give joy for this wonderful day where I see a lot of faces that normally aren't here. So it's good to see John and Fred and even my sister Joan from Florida. So very good to see them. And I give blessings that all you travelers are back, especially Werner and Kathy, as they are back from Belgium. And eager to make some waffles so that we can enjoy the experience. But I also want to give praise. This past Monday, we put our boxes with all the other boxes in the Lynchburg area, and I want you to know and to feel good about it. Last year we did 38 Christmas shoe boxes. This year we did 254. Is what you guys did. And it was just a wonderful orchestrated effort of all of you, and we had a wonderful director of our orchestra, and that was Webb Griffin. So thank you for doing that. They said the total number, and one of you may be more precise, but the total number that was collected and sent from the Lynchburg area was 17,800 and some change. So almost 18,000 boxes. Studies show that for each box that's sent, there are six people that hear the message of the gospel. So if you take that 18,000 and times it by six, I did it, I think it was close to 810,000 people will hear the gospel from the efforts of the Lynchburg churches. So thank you very much. Any other prayer requests or praise items anyone has? Yes? Marion Mance, thank you. Yes, Andy.
So, Rick, my friend Rob Simpkin, his house burned down over Thanksgiving and lost everything. He's fine, he's a believer, his church is helping out, but it's hard for that friend and his family, Rob.
Is he in Pennsylvania?
In Virginia.
Oh, in Virginia. We will definitely keep him in prayer. Anyone else? Carrie.
If y'all could just keep my mom in prayer. She found out this week that she's scheduled for surgery December 18th. Do you not know the time? I will take her December 4th for lab work and anesthesia, but she is not a candidate for BCG treatment, so I would say remove the tumors, we'll do chemo in her bladder.
So Darby will have the tumor removed on the 18th of December and subsequent chemo. She'll do that at UVA?
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep Darby in our prayers. Yes, Lisa.
Sarah Conaway and her husband Chuck, who had emergency surgery for hernia repair the other night.
Okay, let's keep Sarah. Many of you know Sarah, and let's keep her husband Chuck in our prayers. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, but Webb.
I got a prayer request and praise. Keep Colin in your prayers. He's just going through some difficult times right now in California. And I have a praise. All of us have prayed for a long time for our miracle baby, Paisley. And she was at her house last night for a few hours, and she is beautiful.
Oh, that's great.
Stunning, healthy, all smiles, just absolutely beautiful.
How old is Paisley now? 2 months?
She'll be a year.
A year?
A year.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
My goodness. So that, praise God. She is a miracle. Robert.
I want to give praise that Heather came home 3 days this week and everything's looking good now.
That's great. That's great. We look forward to her permanent return, so let's keep Heather in our prayers. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Dan's friend since childhood, Earl, he's got cancer and is in hospice care now, and he's stopped eating as much as he was, so the decline is beginning.
But we'll keep Earl in our prayers. Childhood friend of Dan. Anyone else? All right, let's go to the Lord. Our gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you not only are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but you are the compassionate Father that reaches low. Your strong and loving arm is always long enough to reach into whatever pit we're in. You rescue us, and you hold us. We thank you that when you work as the altogether lovely one, so we can trust you. Even when we don't see any change, even when we don't see any progress, even when we don't see any evidence of the promise, we know that you are trustworthy. And we believe you, not based on what we can see, but on what we hear. And we have heard your eternal word that's forever settled in the heavens. It's sure than any evidence we can see. So based on your sure word, we come cast these cares upon your. We ask that you would be with Marion and with Earl. We just pray that you will continue to uphold them and strengthen them. Be with Chuck as he's in the hospital. May his recovery from this emergency surgery go well. We pray that you would be with Darby as she's preparing for surgery and treatments. We pray that even now you prepare her body for that. We thank you for answers to prayer that we see so often. And we thank you for Paisley. And truly, she is a miracle, and we just thank you for her precious life and continue to guide and lead her. We thank you for the same with Heather, and we just pray that she'll continue to walk in a way that'll bring joy to her and to her dad and family. We pray that you'd be with Colin as he's having difficult times. Draw close to him. May he rely upon you for his strength. We pray that Rob will do the same in his family as they've lost all the material things, but they still hold to that wonderful promise that clings to us all. We also ask that your Spirit would work in the person or the circumstance and situation that comes to our mind at this time. We commit them all to you, Lord, and we trust you and you alone. In your holy name, amen. If you look with me on the front of the bulletin, as always, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you look with me to the insert, we'll read the first seven verses of Psalm 95, calling each to worship, and then we'll stand and sing hymn 636. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and raise a loud shout to him as follows.
For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods.
In his hands are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also.
The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands have molded the dry land.
Come, let us bow down and bend the knee, and kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Amen.
Thank you. Our first reading this morning is from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 16 and 20 to 24. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There shall they lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Therefore, says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 to 28. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. The word of the Lord.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Thank you, everybody. It's always great to be here to share the word of the Lord in this congregation, especially with family and friends here today. As Pastor said, this is the last Sunday of the year. It's Christ the King Sunday, and we all know what happens next Sunday. We begin the season of Advent, and you know Christmas time is here. And had my family over, and right after Thanksgiving Day, we're getting Christmas decorations out, and we're getting everything ready. Got the Advent calendars. I'm all ready for Christmas. But you know, let's not forget Thanksgiving, okay? You know, Thanksgiving's kind of that forgotten holiday. You know, my wife at the end of October went to get Thanksgiving cards, and all the Halloween stuff was out, and the Christmas stuff was there. There wasn't even any Thanksgiving cards to get, but she got them anyway. So I love Thanksgiving. You know, it's a great holiday. And you know what the best thing about this holiday is? It's the feast, right? It's all about really having a feast. And as you can tell, I love to eat. I really do. The turkey and the stuffing and the gravy and, you know, and I know you Southerners have your ham biscuits and your sweet potato casserole, but you know, nothing makes Thanksgiving special than good old Pennsylvania shoe fly pie. You know, and we had some and it was wonderful. You know, and when we have a feast like that, it really shows us how much we're loved and how much we have to love. You know, in the Bible, Jesus many times talks about the feast, the wedding feast of the Lamb, the feast that we're going to have when we get to heaven. And sometimes when I think about heaven, I think about having a feast where you can have all you can eat, all you can drink, all the desserts, and you don't get intoxicated, you don't get full, and you don't get fat. You know, that is kind of a feast that I want to go to. In the gospel today, we're talking about Christ being the king. And Jesus comes, and the king comes, and he invites people to their inheritance that has been prepared from the beginning of the world. And I am sure when that happens, there is going to be quite a feast. What a treasure. What a great opportunity to get invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. So who gets invited? And the gospel that Jen wrote today talks about that. There's actually two groups. You know, you got the sheep that get invited and the goats that don't. So
let's try to figure this out. How do we get in that group that gets those tickets to the feast? Well, the sheep, okay? The sheep, you know, they're patient, and they follow their master, and they're nice, and they're good, and everything like that. And they're sort of the good, you know, the people that feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, and invite the strangers in, clothe the naked, and visit those that are in prison. And they get a ticket. They get in. And then there's that other group they call the goats. And the goats are kind of independent, kind of they eat everything. And traditionally, goats have been sort of associated with the devil and his angels. And they don't get in because, well, it looks like they don't do those things, those good things that the sheep do. So if you just take this message as it is, which you really shouldn't do, because when you look at the Bible, you should look at it as a whole, you kind of get the whole Christmas song running through your head, right? You better watch out. You better not pout. You better not shout. I'm telling you why. And he sees you when you're sleeping. He sees you when you're awake. He knows if you're doing bad or good. So you better be good for goodness sake, right? You better, you know, do good stuff. You better feed the poor. You better volunteer the soup kitchens. You better get a box in to web. Because, you know, if you don't and you miss that box and you miss opportunity, you're missing Christ and you're on the out. You're with the goats. You know, you don't get any extra turkey, right? And that really sounds good, but it's not the meaning. You really kind of miss the whole meaning if that's what you're getting out of it. So how do we get the meaning of it? What is this about if it's not about being good for goodness sake? Well, like I said before, you really got to look at the Bible as a whole, especially the preceding and the following parts. And if you've been paying attention, as I have, to Pastor Tom the past couple of weeks, this is actually the third parable that Jesus has about sort of a separation and an inclusion, whether it's the virgins and the wedding feast, or it's about the talents, and now it's about doing good to others. And one commentator has said this is kind of for three different groups. So for the first group with the virgins and the oil, it's for the contemplatives, the monks, the people that give themselves up to contemplation, and they really have the contemplation of the joy of the presence in God. The second group, the talents, that's for the clergy, because they're given the gifts of God, and they're the ones that are responsible for doing that, so obviously you want to do good with that. And this third group is kind of for the laity. The people that, as George Bailey says in A Wonderful Life, do all the living and eating and loving and dying in this town. Well, it's not hard for them to eat and live and die with three rooms in a bath. My father thought so. And he was a much richer man than you were. Sorry. I went into A Wonderful Life. So we'll go back to where we're going. Anyway, the people that do all the living and dying in this country, in this community, they're the ones we're talking about. So, how do these people get to be what's good if they don't get it by doing good things? And the answer is, they don't do good, they are good. There's a difference between doing good and being good. And we are only good, we are only made good when we have that confession of Christ in our life. And once we have that, once we come to Christ, he comes inside us, and he fills us, and we are made good. And when we're made good, we're kind of oblivious to the good that we are. In fact, if you look at the gospel reading, the people that are invited to the inheritance try to talk God out of it. They go, whoa, wait a minute, you must have the wrong person. When did we ever do that? It's kind of like, you know, when you get an award for community service and your name is mentioned and you're like, who's that? That's not me. I didn't do that. And I think some of us can see that in other people more than we can ourselves. I have a friend named Gary Abel, and he's a good guy, for instance, college days, and we like to go hiking together. And it's kind of annoying sometimes because we'll be hiking and we'll see someone that maybe looks like they're a little tired or maybe need to drink, and he'll just stop what we're doing and go over to this guy and say, hey, can I give you a drink or can I help you? And he's just so good, you know? And he doesn't even try to be good. He just is good. You know, I see it in my wife. You know, she just does all these things because that's what she is. And the men's group, we have our men's group, and we all share that. We probably see this a lot more in our wives than in each other. But we can go around the room and say how good the other person is, but we can't see it in ourselves. Well, that's kind of how it's supposed to be. When God comes into you, he makes you good. Focusing on Christ makes us good. Now, as many of you know, I'm a physician, and one of the writers that I like to read and help me is a guy named Tournier, Paul Tournier. And Tournier has this message to doctors to be a better doctor. And I thought, well, maybe you need to study anatomy, how the body is made. That makes you a good doctor. Or maybe you need to study pharmacology, the drugs that we give people to make sure it's good. But actually, it's neither of those. Tournier says, if you want to be a really good doctor, you need to spend time with Jesus Christ. In that relationship, when God comes in you, he will give you the ability to love one another, which is really what you need. And the people that are the sheep, they know this. They know it all comes from God and not their own. And like as Lisa read in the Old Testament example, if you look at this, it kind of is really repetitive. The word, the first person, I, is said 16 times. I will search for my sheep. This is what God's saying. I will seek them out. I will rescue them. I will bring them out. I will feed them. I will be their shepherd. I will make them to lie down. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. I will destroy the fat and strong. I will feed my sheep in justice. I will judge between the sheep. I will set them over with one shepherd. I am the Lord. And when we realize that, we are made good by God. But what about those that don't get invited? Well, I think there's a little bit of a key in the message. If you look at it carefully, when the sheep are posed those questions, there's always the natural response. For you were hungry, and I fed you. You were thirsty, and I gave you drink. You were naked, and I clothed you. But what do the goats say? They lump all these up without knowing what the adequate response is. When did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or stranger, and eating clothes, and not minister to you? In the words of the text, they don't list a specific natural solution, but just argue that they were accused of not helping. And the problem with them is their focus was not on the others, not on God, it was on themselves. And as we focus in on ourselves, we start judging other people. Well, they don't deserve it, you know? Well, they're hungry because they don't work hard enough, you know? And when we start getting judgmental, we start getting inside of ourselves, we actually we get what we want. And if you really want to build a kingdom that's centered around you and all what you want to get and the stuff you want to get and everything's about you, you're going to get that kingdom. And you're going to live eternally with you as king. And I don't know about you, but I think living eternally with me as king would be very hellish. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a great Lutheran theologian during Nazi Germany, wrote many good things, but one thing he said is, by judging others, we blind ourselves through our own evil, and also to the grace which others are just as entitled to as we are. So what does this look like, to be a sheep, not a goat? Well, as many of you know, I like to go to the former Soviet Union, Russia, to help with the brothers and sisters in Moldova. And, you know, when you hear the words Russia, you think of communism and Soviet aggression and war. But actually, if you go further back in Russian history, there's some very great Russian Christian writers that have really influenced and shaped a lot of what we do. And one of them was a man named Leo Tolstoy, who was born in 1928 and died in 1910. A great writer, you might have recognized War and Peace, epic long novel, which, you know, is 1,000 pages. But he actually wrote some short stories as well. The short stories are very easy to read. The man was nominated for the Nobel Prize for Literature 5 years in a row, and also 3 years of Nobel Peace Prize. And if you get a chance to read some of his stuff, it really reads easily. You can feel the snow and hear the crunching and hear the fire crackling, and does a great job. And just real quickly, I'm going to give a summarize of one story. But if you want a nice Christmas story, there's a story called Where Love Is, There God Is Also. And you can probably Google it. It's written 150 years ago, so it's out of the public domain. And if you want a copy, I have one here. But let me just leave you with this story about a shoemaker named Martin. And the story begins with the background of Martin's life. He was a fine cobbler. And as he did his work and never promised to do anything that he could not do, so he stayed busy with his work in his basement, which only had one window. And through this window, he could see only the feet of people. But he was still able to recognize most people by their shoes, as he had worked with them at least once. He had a wife, but she died. And all their children had died in their infancy, except for a 3-year-old son. And after he thought about sending him off to live with his sister, he decided to care for the child himself. Martin, however, was not destined to have a child, as his son died a few years later with a fever. In grief, he denied God, wondering how he could allow such a thing to happen. And one day, a missionary visited Martin, and Martin told him of his hardship. And this missionary told Martin that he should live his life for God, and not deny him, because God's will is the ultimate deciding factor. And the missionary's words sank deep into Martin. And after this encounter, Martin went out and bought a large print New Testament. And he began to read his Bible, at first only on holidays. But as he read more and more, it became daily, and his life began full with peace and joy. And after a day of work, he would sit down with a lamp and read. One night, Martin read a passage about a Pharisee who invited Jesus into his house, and in the house, a woman is anointed and washed Jesus' feet with her tears. And Martin thought of himself as a Pharisee in the story, as he was only living for himself. As Martin slept, he thought he heard the voice of God telling him that he would visit him the very next day. So the next morning, Martin got up and watched out his window for God. And while he was searching for God, he saw Stefanich shoveling away the snow. And Martin invited him in for a warm drink, and they talked for a while. And Martin told Stefanich about Jesus and the Pharisee, and Stefanich was moved to tears. Stefanich later left and thanked Martin for the food, both for the soul and body. Martin later saw that a young woman was outside with a baby who was not properly dressed for the cold. He invited her in, gave her some food, and gave her warm clothes and money. And Martin also told her about Jesus, and she thanked him and left. Then he saw a young boy stealing from an older lady. He went outside and settled their argument, as he extended love and compassion for both of them. And that night, Martin wondered why God had not visited him. And the three figures appeared in his house, whom he had shown hospitality to that day. They had said that when he helped them, he was helping God. And Martin then realized that God had indeed visited him, and he had accepted him alone. Friends, as we enter this Christmas season, let me encourage you to enjoy the greatest gift that you will have, the relationship you have with Jesus Christ. And as we come together to share the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let it truly be a foretaste of the feast to come. Amen. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is our duty and our joy to thank and praise you, God of heaven and earth, for you are our shepherd who called Abraham by name and gathered a people under Moses, fed your flock in the wilderness, and led them out of Egypt and Babylon to take refuge in your sheepfold. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus to be our shepherd king, leading us beside still waters, delivering us from the valley of the shadow of death, and restoring our souls. And so with all your gathered flock, with sheep that are not of this fold, and with saints and angels surrounding your glorious throne, we praise your name and join the unending hymn.
Holy, 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 Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Abundant God, you bestow upon your people the riches of your glorious inheritance and the immeasurable greatness of your power. You send upon your disciples the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Send now that same spirit to breathe upon your church and make it resound with your praise. Sanctify this bread and this cup, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
God of glory, you sent Jesus to be our prophet, priest, and king, and you show us his face. As the tempted Christ was hungry in the wilderness, make yourself known to all who search for food. As the crucified Christ was thirsty, hanging on the tree, reveal your love among those who lack clean water. As the infant Christ was a stranger in Egypt, manifest your presence through any who are pilgrims from afar. As the newborn Christ was naked in the manger, live in all who experience shame and exposure. As Christ in his passion was sick to the heart in Gethsemane, declare your grace among those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. And as Christ under judgment was a prisoner under Pontius Pilate, be with all who are incarcerated by folly, injustice, or fear. Renew your church by making it resemble Jesus, our crucified King, our Savior, Lord, and friend, with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We have eaten bountifully from the word that was preached, and we are the recipient of that word. But I have a question, a sort of tagline on that sermon. We can argue about the best things at the meal. The most important part of Thanksgiving or any feast, shoe fly pie would not be on my list, but but sauerkraut would. But let me ask you, not only Thanksgiving, but every meal you've ever eaten, especially the one that you're about to eat, what is the most essential ingredient? I would argue with you
It's having an appetite. Solomon said he saw a curse, a rich man who had a table spread with much bounty, but he was unable to enjoy it, for he had no hunger. I would argue that whatever feast you come to, your appreciation of that feast will be how hungry are you. My prayer for you and my prayer for me is that the Holy Spirit will burn within us. And life has a way of helping, or let me say, the Holy Spirit has a way of using the events of life to make us extremely hungry. This is the place to eat. Christ Jesus is our Passover lamb. The feast is spread. Let us hungrily keep the feast. I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to come and to receive what only Christ can offer, his very body and his very blood, for your forgiveness and your sustaining as you walk as his sheep. Let us keep the feast.
This is the body of Christ. The blood of Christ is shed for you.
through the gift of your Spirit, we heard and answered your invitation to come. And we're grateful that as we come in the spirit of the prophet Isaiah, who says, come, without money, without silver or gold, made possible only by the precious blood of our King, who laid down his life that his subjects may live. In you, we find life, and only in you, we find absolute abundance of life. In you, we are well fed forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship, singing our final hymn.
both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.